How's it going, everybody? Andrew Zarian here, Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern. Saturdays with Jim Valley at 1 p.m. Eastern. And, of course, Sundays with me, 6 p.m. It's Sunday, 6 p.m. It's me. I'm here. Oh, man, a week away from Double or Nothing. I can't believe that this pay-per-view is happening already. I can't believe everything that's happening in professional wrestling right now is happening. I feel like I'm in like a bizarro world. I don't know what happened. Everything was fine like leading up to WrestleMania season. And then my whole world kind of imploded with just all this stuff going on. Listen, I'm not complaining. A lot of stuff to talk about. With me today, someone you may know, my tag partner on Will Live Pal, Garrett Gonzalez. What's going on, Garrett?
Hey, man, I feel like I'm a little overexposed on, hey, look, I'm hanging out at Lance's gym. That's awesome. I feel like I'm a little overexposed this week because I, you know, we did We're Live Pal at Wrestling Observer with Dave. I did my fight game with John, and then now I'm here. But like you said, it's been a nutty, nutty week, and I hope to try and make some sense of what's going on, and hopefully we'll have a good conversation.
You're very high in demand right now. I think that's the problem. Your stock is going up.
I think I'm the opposite of Sasha Banks. Like, I just don't have a value that people go, hey, do you want to do this? I'm like, sure. Like, yeah, I'll do it. It's fun.
Oh, man, great segue, man.
Sasha knows her value, man. That's a big part of this.
Yeah, this has been this is the big story. I guess this was a big story. You know, this show's more like a summary for the week. So I'm going to touch on everything. I don't want to go into so much of this because everybody's spoken about it. I want to talk a little bit more about the Stephanie McMahon situation because that kind of came out of nowhere for a lot of people. But,
yes,
you know, according to some people, this was brewing for a couple months now. So we'll go into that. But let's begin with Sasha Banks and Naomi and how this played out. It was announced on Friday. Michael Cole made the announcement that they were indefinitely suspended on SmackDown. And I'm going to quote him here. Their actions disappointed millions of WWE fans and their fellow superstars. So because of what Sasha and Naomi did this past Monday night, they have been suspended indefinitely. And we will have a future tournament to crown a new WWE Women's Tag Team Champion. Naomi on Saturday removed all mention of WWE from her social media. I mean... You know, what's interesting is that early in the week, it was reported that they weren't going to punish them, right? And they were going to try to make this work, and whatever happened between Monday and Friday, this kind of fell apart here.
Yeah, it's their playbook, right? It's let's show the rest of the talent what we are going to do if this happens again,
yeah.
Right? This happened. This is what we're going to do. We're going to take your merch away so you can't make any merch money.
Yeah, Friday.
We're going to shame you on television. We're going to verbally spank you on television. And this is all to say, if anybody else is thinking about this, think again. Did you see the quote from Toni Storm in the Wrestling Observer this week?
I didn't. What was it?
Okay, so I talked about this with Dave a little bit, but it's so necessary to bring this up in the context of what is happening. So Toni Storm, you, we all remember she did the pie thing with Charlotte, and then she was kind of fed up, and she walked out, and then they released her. So she was talking about the angle with Charlotte in what it was originally supposed to be. So she says, they wanted to do this whole angle where it was like they were going to rip my shirt and I'd be embarrassed in my underwear, I guess. When you're asked if you are comfortable, if you're to do that, and it's like literally people are being fired every single week, it's like, well, yeah, I guess I'm comfortable with that, right? Yeah. And so this, the way that, you know, they can get talent to maybe not cause a stir, maybe when they are frustrated, is with these scare tactics. Oh, you know, you may be fired. But and then this is the greatest thing about the existence of AEW. Imagine, let's go back 10 years ago, 15 years ago, how many people had to swallow their pride on things because there was no other option, and now there is an option. So that's another angle to this. And, you know, I'm a little bit of a, you know, I would say I am a student of Tupac Shakur, right?
Oh, so am I. All Tupac, eyes on me.
So Tupac's mentality was like, you know, we're not asking anymore. We're taking. You know, that's how you have to deal with this stuff. And that's where I look at Sasha and Naomi. You know, they probably have been asking for better stuff months and months and months. And then they're given things that they're not comfortable with or that they don't think is good for them. And it's like, well, we've been asking. And now, you know, now we sort of have to stand by our own words and stand by our own what our own mentality is and the things that we tell each other. It's now time to stand on that. So I may be leaning a little bit more towards talent than most people are on this, but it's just how I see things. It is a rare occasion that I stand with management on petty stuff like this. Almost never.
See, I totally agree with you. I'm a big believer of if you are unhappy and you feel that there will be no change, then you should think of your other options. You should move forward with those other options. I'm a big believer of that. I don't feel that people should feel trapped or feel that they have to do it or feel that if they, you know, if it's going against their integrity in any way or anything like that. Like, I think Toni Storm's situation would have been, you know, okay, so let's say that she agreed to do all those things, right? And the day of the show, she walked out. How would people have reacted to that? I think the big problem, especially with a lot of talent, because I don't feel that this is as one-sided of a scenario as a lot of people imagined. I think WWE themselves even thought that this would have been a big pile-on on them, but the fact that they walked out during the show was what they did wrong. Not that they walked out or they were unhappy, they wanted to change. I don't think anybody will say that that was a problem. I think you're totally entitled, especially if you're Sasha Banks or especially you're Naomi. You've been there for a long time. You have some pull and you have some ability to use that pressure to kind of adjust storylines that make no sense. And, you know, I think this scenario here, I agree with you, this is probably was a pile on over months and months of stuff going on, right? I cannot imagine that their reason to walk out of this company during a TV show, right, during the TV show, was because they were both set to win and face the champions. I can't imagine that that's the fact, because how do you, I mean, this is your job. Your job is to go out there, wrestle. They weren't put in an embarrassing situation. They were put in a situation mm-mm. where they were both going to be profiled as, you know, main event matches. You know, may not be the main event, but it is a main event caliber match. Sasha Banks facing Ronda Rousey is a big match. Naomi and Bianca is a big match that I would want to see. They were set. Naomi was set to win on Monday, so they weren't getting buried. But whatever happened, this had to have happened before this, and they finally hit that wall. And they decided, they said, hell with this. Now, the interesting thing is, I think you discussed it with Dave on Observer Radio on Saturday morning. Vince played the easy guy here, right? He was like, yeah, absolutely, we'll figure something out, right? Isn't that? But that's his MO. He doesn't yes. go to the talent and argue over
He's always
going to
be good cop. Yeah.
Always good cop, right? The producers were the ones. I think Molly the producer for that match?
You would know better than me.
I gotta before I go into that, I gotta just double check. But you know, I don't know. I do I feel that they should have left on a TV show the day of the TV? No, because that affects everybody else and the talent in that locker room. So you're overall creating a disaster situation for the producers to scramble more, the writers, and there's a lot of innocent people in this. That's how I see this.
Honestly, you know? though, if they would have gone through with that, and then after that match was over, then decided to walk out, I think that would have been worse, because you're building Naomi to be the number one contender against Bianca, and so she would win that match, and then they walk out after. I think that creates a lot more issues for the writing and for what you're saying, you know, with their coworkers and such. And so that I thought that that's a more responsible way to do this than if they would have gone through with the show.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I think there's a lot of middle here that we don't know. And
sure. Always.
I don't think anybody should read this for face value of what we're seeing online. You know, even you know, whatever, like the statement that I put out or Dave put out. Like, there is way more to this. That is just, you know, the side that everybody was told, because WWE PR is a machine and they were very quick at 10 o'clock at night to text everybody, you know, their narrative and their story.
That's the other part. And you would know more about this than I do. But when WWE wants to get the word out there to filter through the internet, they leak stuff, right? They leak stuff so that people will report it and it will make the talent look bad. Now, a lot of times they're trying to make AEW look bad, but in this sense, they want to make their talent look bad so that they are not the evil corporation. Yeah. And I think if people really understood like how that part of this business works, like this happens in sports all the time. Like if you're the Lakers, right? You have LeBron James, who is a media mogul himself, and you have the Lakers. Well, if LeBron James is upset about something, his people may leak something out. Yeah. If the Lakers are upset about something,
they leak
their PR may leak things out to reporters so that they don't look bad. Like this happens in real sports all the time. So there's a strategy to this. There's a structure to this. But going back to what you said, this is not that there is so much context and nuance to this. And that's, I think, the problem that a lot of people are having with this story. They want this story to be linear. They want this story to be A plus B equals C. Oh, they were wrong. WWE was right. Or WWE was wrong and they were right. But that's a linear thing. Like you cannot ascribe your morals in what you would do in this situation because it's a different experience. Everybody has a different experience. And that is the problem that I think a lot of people have with this story. They want to know who's right and who's wrong. And there's so much nuance and context involved. You really have to dig deep and you really have to sort of understand culturally what's going on and also have, you know, your empathy hat on, which a lot of people struggle with. And that's why I think you're seeing so many like, you know, oh, it's got to be this or it's got to be this. No, it does not have to be. It's exactly what you said.
Yeah, I don't have a personal opinion on this because I don't know. I wasn't there. And I hope everybody ends up doing well. And I hope that, you know, whatever happens, it's a positive for everybody involved. But, you know, you can't. I saw that people are like going nuts on social media. They're attacking Naomi. They're blaming Sasha for Naomi leaving, that she was brainwashed by Sasha. I'm like, these are grown adults that make a ton of money, that are famous, and they have a lot of resources. I don't think anybody was brainwashed into leaving their very high paying job while their husband is also there. That is not the scenario here. And I think that's a bizarre narrative.
And Sasha knew what was going to happen. She could have predicted that if she walked out, A, they're going to freeze her contract. B, they could, you know, just like she removed them from social media, they could do stuff to her. And then, you know, C, the merch thing is a giant piece of their business, right? Yeah. Like, you know, that whole thing is a lever that WWE pulled because they can. And now, you know, we'll see what happens. For their sake, I hope there's a compromise. I hope there's an agreement. I hope that they come back to work with what they feel is a good, solid working environment for them. But that may take time and who knows? And you know what WWE wants, right? What WWE wants is for them to come back and for them to make happy face and for WWE to go, see, you should not do that because look at what they lost and they had to come back to essentially the same thing.
Yeah.
And it's just scary. You know, it's the scare tactic strategy, which is going to work for a lot of the talent. It is.
Yeah,
it's just tons of work that way.
Tons of them. Also on Friday, and this came out as a surprise for a lot of people. Thursday, it was announced. Stephanie McMahon put out a tweet saying that she's taking a leave of absence from WWE. As of tomorrow, this was Thursday, I'm taking a leave of absence from the majority of my responsibilities at WWE. WWE is a lifelong legacy for me, and I look forward to returning to the company that I love after taking some time off to focus on my family. You know, it's been a hard year for them. Hunter's cardiac event, his heart attack, however it was worded, was far more serious than people thought it was. You know, that is not an easy thing to kind of rebound from mentally, especially when, you know, you got three kids, teenagers at this point. You have this very high pressure job that requires so much of your attention. Stephanie's been there for her entire adult life. She's worked at that company. You know, maybe it's time
wild.
To take some time
I was
off.
Watching. I was watching 2001 stuff because I started working on a project for 2001 stuff, but I've kind of put it by the wayside because I just don't have enough time. But she's all over that show. It's like the Stephanie McMahon show. Like she's in like most of the segments. She's great as a 20.
Oh, she's so
good. 25 year old.
25, yeah.
Yeah, 24, 25. Like she's tremendous in that role. And like you said, her entire sort of adult life has been with this company.
So Hunter's back to work, and that's something a lot of people missed. I believe he had gone back a little while ago. It's not that he just went back. He went back a month or so ago, or maybe a little over a month. He's been there for a little bit. You know, you never want to dig into personal stuff. I never dig into personal stuff ever. Ever. I hate talking about it. But, you know, listen, it is time maybe to focus on your family. You got teenage daughters. Your husband had this, you know, issue. Maybe you want to just refresh. And there's nothing wrong with that. She's not leaving the company. She will be back. Just take a little bit of time off and to figure out, you know, recharge, I guess. You need it after being... She's worked consistently in the same company since she was 16 years old, right? 14, 15, 16 years old, she was working in the warehouse, and she was a secretary I think she was a secretary, right? She was the front door girl.
For a little bit. You would know better than me on that.
I think so.
Because you guys are besties. So. I've seen a picture of you guys
together.
Oh,
yeah, we're besties. We hung out. It was actually a great night,
it's funny because...
You know what she said to me? She's like, listen, you got to tell Dave, like, You got to be hosting Observer Live on Sundays, okay? Your hair looks 100%. Great. You got a wonderful tan, and that's what I did. I went to Tony and I went to Dave, and I'm like, listen, this is what Steph said, and they said, okay, you got to do Sundays now. That's how it worked. The whole situation.
I thought I saw that John Alba beat you for best hair or something.
I don't want to talk about John Alba and his hair. All right, I don't want to deal with that guy John Alba and his hair.
The Steph thing. It's so funny because so. There's a certain part of this fan base that doesn't like Stephanie because of her character, right? She was always playing the side of the WWE talking figure. And also, you know, she was running creative when their business started going down and the creative was pretty bad. And, you know, she was not good at that job and she's no longer doing that job. But when I look at who the face of that company is, I think she does a great job in that marketing role that she has, the branding role or whatever, because you have a working mother, somebody who grew into this family. You know, I think, you know, if we go back and read some observers, Shane was originally pegged to be kind of the next one, right? And then Shane has been in and out, and Stephanie has been the stalwart in that company. And so I think, you know, she deserves a lot of credit for the role. And here's another thing. Working moms, in general, it's a hard job. She's got two full-time jobs. And so my hope is that this is just sort of a burnout thing and she feels the need to spend more time at home. I hope that there's nothing wrong. You know, there's no health issues going on. There's no problems on the homestead. I very much hope that that is the case. And that... It is an acknowledgement of, hey, being a working mom for all of these years, doing two full-time jobs is really hard.
Very.
And now it's time. Now it's time to take some time away.
Yeah, man. And she'll come back. And, you know, she's the legacy of that company. She also has 2.5 points in that company, 2.5% of that company. I think it's estimated
116 million or so. I saw last time I saw.
Yeah, she's pretty engraved in that business. So I don't see her going away or anything. But we'll see what happens. I hope for the best for everybody there. Let's talk about the big story here. We're going into the road to Double or Nothing. You're gonna be there. What day do you get in? Friday, right?
I get in Friday. We get in literally at the same time. I think.
Okay, cool. We'll carpool. Me, you, and Dave.
Yeah. No, we have a car, so I got
perfect.
It all set up.
Oh,
we got
man,
we got a
this
car.
Is great.
Corey, the great Corey, who he drives a truck as his profession. He's coming down, so he's got a pretty big truck, and he's gonna be able to take us. You know what? You know what though? Rampage is early. Rampage is we're gonna get into Vegas. We're gonna drop off our bags, get something to eat, and we're already gonna have to go to the Rampage to the building to see Rampage. Are you going to Rampage?
I am going to Rampage. Yes, okay. I'm going to Rampage. It's a 5:30 Eastern start time because I guess they're preempted, right? Or
yeah. Yeah, the same dance that they've been doing because of the playoffs. Yeah.
So 2:30 that show starts. So 2, I guess 1:30 we got to be. So I mean, it's going to be quick, but man, nothing better than that. So we're going to have so much free time, which is going to be fantastic. So we got Rampage happening. I think the big match is Ruby Soho and Chris Stratlander in the Owen tournament on Rampage. Dynamite is also in Vegas. So a lot of people are going to be coming in on Wednesday. On Wednesday, we're going to get Kyle O'Reilly and Samoa Joe for the semifinals of the Owen Hart tournament. Dr. Britt Baker and Toni Storm also in the semifinals for the women's side of the tournament. FTR versus Roppongi Vice for the Ring of Honor. That is going to be fun. For the Ring of Honor Tag Team Championship, Jungle Boy versus Ricky Starks versus Swerve Strickland. MJF versus Wardlow in a... This is weird, right? In a steel cage match with MJ, I'm sorry, MJ, this is not right.
Spears.
It is not MJF. You know what? This was the first time it happened on this show. You know what? Congratulations to our producer, Matt. MG Geek writes all our show notes, and he will always mess up on something. I mean, always. And this is the first one he did on Observer Live, so kudos to him.
The slander.
So we're going to have Spears versus Wardlow in a steel cage with MJF as the ref, and Adam Page and CM Punk face to face. I'm sure a bunch of other stuff's going to happen here as well, but it's going to be a fun week in Vegas. Double or Nothing. Here's the card here. A lot of matches on the pre-show. Hook and Danhausen versus Tony Nese and Mark Sterling. Excited for this. So
did you like their little video package thing on Rampage? Did you see it?
Of him like working out.
The workout video.
Yeah, it was great.
I thought that was cute.
Yeah, very good job. Malachi Black, Brody King, and Buddy Matthews versus Pac, Penta, and Rey Fénix. Anarchy in the Arena match. That is what they are calling this. Jericho and his entire crew versus Moxley, Danielson, Eddie Kingston, Santana, and Ortiz. Let's see what else we got here. Young Bucks and the Hardys. Are you excited for this match? Do you want to see the Bucks and the Hardys?
Okay, so we talked about this on We're Live Pal this week. I imagine the match is going to be really good because those guys want it to be really good, right? But I still feel like the anticipation going into this match is more along the lines of, we like the Bucks, we like the Hardys, we know the history, it's going to be fun, and we're okay with it. Because I think that there's not really an angle to it, and I think it's been a little flat, but by the end of that show, I think it'll be okay, and we'll be happy with the result. I just find it, I found that the Hardys have kind of brought the Bucks down a little bit rather than the Bucks raising the Hardys up a little bit.
Yeah, it's been weird. I'm curious if it had to do with Jeff being in that tournament, if that kind of took away from it a little bit because you were distracted with him doing other things. He had that match with Darby that kind of really was the story there, right? It wasn't that the Bucks and the Hardys are going to be building to a program. It was like Jeff Hardy's still killing himself here. I don't know if that hurt it in a way, but listen, I'm excited to see it in the arena. You know, that's going to be a great match to watch.
It'll be fun for sure. Yeah. But it's more like this is a hardcore AEW fan match rather than like if you compare it, and it's hard to compare because CM Punk has been so great, but like CM Punk and Paige, that feels like a main event. There is some stuff bubbling there. Like you could see those guys. I don't know if there's dislike between the two of them, but they're playing it like there is, and I can feel it. MJF and Wardlow, same thing, right? There is heat on top of heat on top of heat for that program. For this one, it's just kind of like, we these teams are cool. And you know what I wonder, though, is the last two Dynamites, Jeff Hardy has been in the main event segment, and they've had to go faster probably because they didn't have enough time for that main event. Yeah. So I wonder if there was more subtleties that were going to happen at the end of those matches, but that they couldn't because they didn't have enough time.
Well, especially last week. Last week they like it was like a Nitro ending in 97.
Yeah.
They totally ran out of time. Like, yeah, things are still happening. They haven't finished, and then just black screen, and you went right into American Dad. You know? blink of an eye. But you know what's interesting about the structuring of this pay-per-view? What's the mega match on this show?
I think you have two. I think the biggest match from the television is the MJF Wardlow match.
See, I have one.
But
for me.
Okay.
I only feel that the main event, which I'm not complaining about this. I think all the matches are going to be great, but this is interesting that because you took Danielson, you took Moxley, you took Jericho, mm-hmm. and you put him in your Anarchy Arena match, right? So they don't have a singles match that leads to something here. The only big deal singles match, in my opinion, like that you're like, okay, what happens now is Hangman and CM Punk. Which I think that's good. I think they need to do that because Hangman was not the focus for a while.
No.
He's been
overshadowed a little bit, right? With CM Punk. CM Punk is he's their top guy right now, even though he doesn't have the title. And I don't know if he's going to win the title this weekend, but at some point he probably will. But, you know, this is Paige's first time in this role. And I'm sure, you know, you read through the archives of history of people who've been given the first championship, like Jericho, right? Like when Jericho beat Austin and Rock in the same night, he was not the top star in that company. He was like fourth or fifth.
Yeah.
And, you know, he writes about that in his books. So I think Paige, what stands out about Paige is his match quality is so high. And his intensity, his intensity is not over the top big, right? It's sort of boiling. And I like that about him, but it also means when you have such a giant personality like CM Punk, you're going to be overshadowed a little bit. Now, I want to go back to one thing. So you don't think MJF and Wardlow feels that same fire as you do with the main event?
I don't have the same. No, I'm into it. I want to see how that plays out for sure. The last 2 weeks kind of pulled me out a little bit. I don't know why.
Interesting. That's interesting.
I want to see it. I'm excited to see it. There's no like, but I feel like when you're watching this card, that's the big match for me. Like that is the match.
And it's great because it's the main event.
It's the main event, and it should be like that, right? We also have Thunder Rosa and Serena Deeb, which is going to be a fantastic match. I would like to see Serena Deeb win the title. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I would like to see that happen. Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus versus Keith Lee and Swerve versus Ricky Starks and Powerhouse Hobbs. This is going to be a lot of fun. Maybe it's time to pull the title and then leave a little deception between Christian and Jungle Boy here. And build into something, because I do think that Jungle Boy needs a singles run.
Yeah, me too. I'm 100%. Whatever TNT title, wherever you go with that, I do too. But, okay, so do you think, because Christian made these matches, right? Christian is sort of the leader of this team, even though he doesn't wrestle. And on Dynamite, it looked... I think we were supposed to believe that Jungle Boy was frustrated with some of those decisions. Jungle Boy kind of made a goofy face. And I think it was supposed to be dismay of Christian making these things. So do we think that on Dynamite, something happens where Jungle Boy gets a little bothered with Christian, and then at the pay-per-view, maybe we get the full turn that we've been waiting for, and then we move on to the Jungle Boy-Christian singles feud?
Yeah, I'd like that. It's a story that's... well told, you know. Let's see. Oh, we also have Jade versus Anna Jay for the TBS Championship.
Is that gonna break the record, the AEW record of fastest pin? Because that's what I want to see.
Oh, on a pay-per-view?
I just want to see destruction. I just want to see Anna Jay comes in, boom, misses a clothesline and finish your match over. That's what I want to see.
And then we got the finals for both the men's and the women's Owen tournament, Owen Hart Foundation tournament. Adam Cole versus Samoa Joe or Kyle O'Reilly? Should it be Joe or should it be O'Reilly?
I think it should be Joe. I think O'Reilly would be interesting, but the problem with the O'Reilly thing is if you watched NXT, like that was the feud for like 6 months, Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly from like last year.
Yeah.
So I would keep them apart just for that reason, because I'm just like, oh, we saw a ton of that. But also just for the natural sort of babyface heel reaction, I think will make for a better match.
And we have Britt Baker or Toni Storm versus Ruby Soho or Chris Stratlander. I don't know who it should be. Should it be maybe? Where do you see that falling?
So I think most people think it's going to be Britt and Ruby. That is probably going to be your biggest match. It's not going to be the best wrestling match because Toni Storm is a better wrestler than Britt Baker. That's the match that I would rather see. I want to see Toni Storm upset Britt in some way and face Ruby. Statlander, it seems like they're renewing the push with her. She looks pretty impressive.
Yeah, she does. I like her new look too. Yeah, the color difference.
She beat Red Velvet, and so you know, I think the one that I want is Toni Storm and Ruby Soho, but I don't think we're gonna get that one.
Yeah, we are not here next week because we will be at the show, so that's why I want to spend time on this a little bit today. Listen, overall, it's gonna be a fun show, man. I'm excited for this show.
Are you and I sitting together? Like, are we sitting
so
in the same row?
Yeah, okay. I think we're next to each other. We can figure it out. I don't know for Rampage. Maybe Tony set that up for us, but we got a busy week.
I don't know what where I got a couple Rampage tickets. I literally have no idea who else is going. So, but I mean, you know, maybe they're in the section close by at least.
Yeah. And then all Friday we just have time to hang out and do stuff. Saturday we got a busy schedule. Saturday night,
sweet
you and
party,
I are hosting
baby.
A sweet party at the Cosmo. Are tickets still available?
Possibly I don't
a couple.
Think so.
No?
I don't think so, but, you know, we do need some, you know, if we can get a couple of guests, that would be a nice, easy way to get in, right?
That would be a nice, very nice, easy way to get in. So we'll talk about that on this week. I'm sure we'll figure something out. I did want to spend some time on SmackDown here. I skipped over it earlier. But a lot of stuff transpired on SmackDown that, let me pull up the notes here. There were a couple interesting things here. One, LA Knight, new name, Max Dupree, male model agent.
No, well, wait, you got to say it like he said it.
You do it.
No, well, I can't even, I'm not even sure it's Dupree? Like, does he go up with the
pre? He goes up.
I texted you because we're both big Howard Stern fans, and it goes back to the WNBC.
WNBC.
Thing.
Max Dupree. so, listen, this guy has had three aliases. You know?
Poor guy.
Eli Drake. I mean, what's better?
Why does
Eli
LA
Drake?
Knight not work? But why does LA Knight not work in this scenario? Isn't LA Knight a better name for this character than Max Dupree?
Max Dupree, male model agent. Nice to meet you. So he could hand his business card to people. LA Knight, what is an LA? LA Knight was a guy from LA that's an honorable fighter, I guess. That's how they came up with the name because it's KNIGHT. Eli Drake.
Or maybe
what was
he's,
wrong with that?
Yeah.
Drake, male model agent. Does that work better than Max Dupree?
I would just call him what he really is, which is like a Stone Cold and Rock cosplayer, but I guess that's too long of a name.
I mean, dude, the guy... It could work. Max Dupree, it's not the dumbest name we've heard. Better than Butch.
No. It's way better than Butch. It'll be interesting to see what they do with him. He's a great talker, right? Like, he... I don't know. I don't know if I enjoy his catchphrases necessarily, but... it's just interesting how, I guess it's because of his age, maybe they don't want him to be a wrestler, or maybe he will start wrestling after this character.
I believe he will
course,
be wrestling.
We'll
I asked because a lot of people, there is a giant LA Knight fan base. Okay.
Yeah.
Like way bigger. Like, listen, the dude's great, but a very aggressive online LA Knight following that I had no idea existed. It's almost as aggressive as like the Sasha Banks followers. You know, every day, dude, I'm not even kidding you. I wish this was an exaggeration. I wish I was exaggerating this. I get DMs and I get messages asking me if LA Knight is going to be wrestling. This is like every couple days, constantly, and it's not one person, it's multiple people. It's like six people every other day or every couple days. I will get a message asking me what I know about LA Knight. It's always the same answer. I have no idea what they're doing. As far as I know, that he's going to eventually wrestle.
Okay, but doesn't that say something about WWE in that, you know, I wouldn't compare Max Dupri and Sasha Banks necessarily because, you know, he's been on NXT forever. But, you know, the very loud fan base who is like, you know, this is my person and I'm going to stand for them. You don't necessarily have that with male wrestlers who have been pushed well, right? Like you usually have that when it seems to a fan base that, okay, why isn't this person in a higher role than they currently are? Like that's a disconnect with some of the fans. But I find it so interesting because, you know, Sasha Banks' fan base gets credit for being vociferous. And you know what it is? Female pop stars, Mariah Carey, she has, I forgot what she calls her fan, the Lambs or something, but they're very similarly like, look, Mariah Carey is a giant star and you know, she doesn't get enough credit. And then the Beyonce hive, right? The Bay hive, like the same thing. Like it's the same thing of like, you know, Beyonce's great. She doesn't get enough credit. We're going to stand for Beyonce. And I like the fact that Sasha has this vociferous fan base who's like, look, she is way better than anybody gives her credit for. And we are showing you by the numbers of this fan base. I think it's actually kind of cool. It's like a nice little thing to have in your corner when your fans are screaming for you the loudest.
Yeah, listen, you want your fan base to be, you know, like that and defend you and to support you. The big story here, there were two things. One, Xavier teased a mystery partner for him and Kofi. I'm curious about this.
Yeah, I don't even know.
Yeah.
Like, who's out there?
I don't know. I'm sure it's not going to be a big surprise or, you know, something that people are going to be like, oh, my God.
I'm just thinking, like, is there anybody in NXT? But, you know, so John LaRocca and I on the Fight Game podcast, we made a decision 3 weeks ago to stop covering NXT and haven't watched it since.
I have such great difficulty. Like I watch it as much as I can. I watch all the clips. I read all the things. But it's become one of those shows for me that I don't have to watch anymore. And it's so unfortunate because there's some great talent on there. It just, you know, listen, they're getting anywhere from 525,000 to 650,000 on the high end. On a Tuesday, they're okay in the sixes. I mean, as far as I know, if they stay in the sixes, it's okay. But I mean, their demo numbers were really wild, right? Like no women watched NXT in the key demo this week. they've told you that it's not an important show to watch once again. And I know that they're in a rebuilding phase there and that's fine. And they're veering into something else. But you know what's fascinating here is that everybody that was there played a pivotal part that left is now saying the same exact thing, that the reason why they went to this version is that the black and gold era veered off into something it was never intended to be, which is 100% true. It was never intended to be a super indie. That traveled.
So, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, well, you know, they were trying to take advantage of where the wrestling industry was going, right? Like they saw an opportunity to I fully feel that it went that route because they saw what would happen when they'd run WrestleMania, and then you'd get all these fans who wanted to come watch also the shows that were surrounding WrestleMania from these other companies, and they're like, well, we could do that as well, and we could get another house out of this and maybe put a stop to some of these other shows. But it didn't exactly work out that way. But I think it heightened
independent professional wrestling. I think NXT was a big heightened it, that whole era. The thing that suffered the most was Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor, their demise started because of NXT really ramping up and becoming, I mean, I'm using that term a super indie really loosely here. I'm having fun with it, but you took the best of the best. You took whoever was available. You know, a guy like Ricochet that was doing, you know, PWG and Evolved and pretty much every major indie territory He was a big star, and you took him. You took Adam Cole from Ring of Honor. You took Kyle O'Reilly. You took, I mean, they essentially raided all of Ring of Honor. Between that and AEW starting, that was a real nail in a coffin for them. But there's still tremendous amounts of talent. Now they've gone more into a production house more than anything else.
Yeah, which is, most of that stuff is really bad, right? Like the worst thing about that show. So I'll say Joe Gacy has changed Channel Heat with me. And that's not to say that the guy who is behind that character, like, this is just about his character. I'm just over it. I just thought it was bad from the beginning. And now he's in the main event, so he's in so many segments. But the worst part of NXT is all of these segments that I sort of feel were written for Raw. They said, no, this is not good enough for Raw. Put them on NXT. I really feel that, because they're so dumb. And they make the talent look bad. That's the worst part of that show to me.
I want to let's get back to SmackDown really quickly and talk about this main event. Something that wasn't bad. The Usos defeated RK-Bro to unify the SmackDown and Raw titles. Afterwards, the Bloodline beat down RK-Bro. There were kids crying. It got everything they wanted to get from this. I thought it was very well done, but where do you go from here now?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I was actually going to ask you, because so if the world title and the tag straps are unified, and whatever they do with these women's tag straps, there's only one, so they are essentially a unified belt too. Is this just an excuse to get the talent to be able to jump from side to side? Because they're sort of doing that already. Like, there's no real reason for the talent to be jumping to different shows. But maybe this is like, oh, like, we need, you know, we're doing the summer doldrums, you know, we need to do something to make the TV shows a little bit more interesting. And so let's just have, you know, let's just mix up the brands and do it that way.
I was told that to expect some of this a little bit more, where you're going to see people go from brand to brand. It's not going to be an overall change in, like, the brand extension in any way. They're not killing the brand extension, but they are going to have, you know, key players going on each show eventually. Like, I can see Cody going on SmackDown. Absolutely.
Sure.
Now that you have the Usos, this makes the most sense. One champion. Every title is now unified. Essentially, right? Your tag titles are unified. There's one tag title. There's one women's tag title. There's one men's world title. The women have two titles right now, but I don't know if the goal is to unify those eventually. But you have to come up with a plan and figure out, okay, what do we do from here? Do we need, should Roman be on both TV shows? Should the champion be on both? I think so. But what happens when you have a Brock Lesnar that wins a title? Then you have no world champion on either channel. So I know it's a major shift in philosophy for them to have a single title. And, you know, it's kind of done in a way that they could reset it if it doesn't work, where they could just have one title defended.
I feel like that's what they're doing, though. I feel like they're going to have the unified belts. And then when they need a big program with stipulations, that's when they decide, okay, we're just going to go back to how it was before. I think it makes it more interesting. I've always liked it better this way, because what it does is it also moves the Intercontinental Championship and the U.S. Championship up a level. That it should, if the booking is smart, it should, because then those titles become a little bit more important, because they are the brand titles. To me, you should put those titles on the next guys, right? Like, Drew McIntyre should get a run with the U.S. title. I don't remember which belts are on which shows. That shows you how...
I got such an easy solution here. You ready? Drew wins the U.S. title right before the Cardiff show, and when he debuts in Cardiff, he comes out with the European title.
That would be cool. That would be really cool.
But, you know, right
D-Lo.
Now...
D'Lo comes in his corner.
D'Lo's in his corner, the greatest European champion of all time, D'Lo Brown. Great gimmick wouldn't they bill him from different places in Europe every week?
I don't even remember.
I kind of remember that.
Love D'Lo.
Yeah. you know, you could do that. But right now, the rumor for Roman's opponents are Matt Riddle, Roman Reigns. Yep. Matt Riddle, Randy Orton, and Drew McIntyre. That's the next three lineup, which makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and then we've kind of been talking about that too, like using Randy Orton's renewed fan interest, you know, in a way where he's also now he's back to being a legitimate title contender. People are going to want to see him beat Roman. He's going to be so good at these hope spots of, you know, the RKO out of nowhere, and people are going to be like, "Oh my gosh, is he really going to win?" And then he's not going to win, but it'll be a great match. If Riddle's the next contender, though, man, they really beat him dead on Friday.
Yeah. This is twice now, right?
Yeah.
Talk about talent getting buried. This is twice. First time Roman destroyed him, and now it's the Usos and everybody. You know, the whole the triad. So we'll see what happens. Interesting stuff here, but we got a big week of wrestling happening coming up. Obviously, WWE's doing their thing right now. The Sasha situation and the Naomi situation is still up in the air, indefinitely suspended. So who knows how long that's going to be? You know, I was thinking, when is the last time WWE did this publicly, where they, you know, tried to embarrass their talent because something happened that they weren't happy about, or they walked out? Obviously, Austin took his ball and went home, right?
Yeah.
That's one. Brett Montreal is another.
Sure.
When they came out and buried Bret Hart.
I was trying to think of that, if there had been any big ones that were forgetting, but you know what?
Warrior, 96. They ran the Gorilla Monsoon announced that he no-showed an event, and they suspended him indefinitely. So those are the three that I can think of. I can't think of anything else, really.
It's had to have happened. It just probably wasn't that big of a deal because it was like a lesser talent or something. Because these are major talents, right? These are like
maybe
big
Hogan.
Time.
Maybe Hogan. Like, I have a feeling they did that with the Captain, Mr. America nonsense.
Mr. America.
When he walked out.
Yeah. I think they did.
By the way, you want to talk about terrible? Terrible. That was terrible. So stupid. Not a fan of it. Never was a fan of that. But a lot going on, a lot of stuff. Garrett, what are you going to be doing this week? Because I will not be on We're Live Pal on Tuesday.
You're not on We're Live Pal. So in order to, you know, we can't just replace you with one person. So instead, we're going to replace you with three people. I will be still hosting the show. We're going to bring on a co-host who's a sort of a new name. You will know him if you read the website. But he hasn't been on, as far as I know, any podcasts. So we're gonna bring him on, new face to co-host with me, and then we're gonna bring on. I can tease this one. I'll save the last one. Give it a little bit of a secrecy, but for people who really understand the lineage of the F4W convention, the man who created it, essentially, Ed in San Antonio, is gonna open up the show.
Wow.
He's doing so for the convention, because we're all going to be in Vegas. He's doing a wrestling show after Brian and Dave's Q&A. So we'll bring him on. He'll talk about his show. He'll talk about the history of the F4W convention. And then to close out the show, I'm going to bring on somebody who is pretty big to this website. So I won't say. I'll let people think about who it
big
is.
Surprise.
And then, but yeah, you know, we need someone who's Andrew Zarian's giant shoes to fill.
Thank you so much. Not that giant, I promise you. But we do have a lot to talk about, obviously. We have a lot going on. I'll be live with Matt Men on Thursday. That'll be my last show. Friday, I'm out of here.
We'll be
in
hanging
Vegas.
Out all weekend, man.
We'll be hanging out all weekend. And then I'm flying to LA on Monday morning. So that's going to be
so
fun,
too. Are you going to the Dynamite?
No, because I'm flying back early. I got a 6 a.m. out of LAX on Wednesday, so I will not be there. I would have loved to stay another day and come back on Thursday, but I just have too much going on.
If that show was on a weekend, or if that was a pay-per-view, I think I would have tried to go, but
for sure.
It's too hard during the week to travel.
Yeah, especially, I mean, how many hours is that for you? 4 hours?
To drive, it's probably about 6 hours, I would say. I mean, it's a quick flight, but, you know, I'm not going to fly in and then after the show fly back out. You know, this is work and stuff, and we're going to Vegas. So, yeah, just bad timing, but I would love to see a big AEW show on this side of town.
Yeah. Guys, that's it for this week. We will not be back next week, but we will be back the following week with everything else happening in professional wrestling. You can follow me on Twitter at Andrew Zarian. We're out of time. You can follow Garrett. Where can people follow you?
Just go to at Fight Game Media, which is our Twitter handle. And the last thing I would say is go Warriors.
Oh, yeah. Listen, they're fantastic. They really are. They're fantastic. Guys, we're out of time. We'll see you all next week on Wrestling Observer Live. See you later.